Hi, I'm Johnny Knoxville. Welcome to Zero Issues.
Oh, God.
Episode whatever the hell number it is.
Five. It's totally five.
Do we even name them? Because what if we switch them?
Hey, who cares what we name them? Because we're crazy guys.
Episode Q.
Episode Q.
This one is about replacement characters. Those characters that have had several versions of themselves.
Hey guys, now I'm Guy Fieri.
We got Guy Fieri here. He's replacing Kyle Lees.
I got sunglasses on my head. Check this out. It's kind of spicy. It's called Spice.
There he is. Kyle, as you might have noticed in the end of the last episode, choked to death, so we have a replacement of our own.
It's me, your buddy, Guy Fieri. Gonna make you some eggs? They're gonna have some spice in them. They're not your mama's eggs. They're Guy's eggs. Put my eggs in your mouth.
That sounds terrible.
My mama's eggs?
Oh. I took your mama's eggs, I spiced them up, now the Guy's eggs.
This is gonna be a good time.
Now, some people might think that I'm a bad replacement. For Johnny Knoxville, who replaced this Kyle Lease fella?
Lease.
Kyle Reese? Oh, the guy from the Terminator.
From
the first Terminator. Oh, yeah.
But,
man, why don't we get him?
He's good. Yeah.
Shit.
Hi, I'm Kyle Reese. I was in the first Terminator movie and the most recent one, but I was just a little kid in that movie.
I'm convinced.
With some people...
This is easy. That's the best part. It's this easy. Just say, I want that person now, and they're here.
I'm right here.
I want Kyle Radner.
I don't know who I am.
Kyle Radner.
Oh, no.
Kyle Rayner.
Rayner, sorry.
Rayner!
See, I'm a Marvel boy.
Gee whiz.
I'm here, fellas.
I got a crab mask.
Check out my ring. It's kind of different from the other rings.
I got a crab mask.
Hey, guys, I'm back.
Hey, my God.
Awesome.
Who was that guy with the hair parted very neatly down the middle who said hi to me and then... drew me a picture of something and
changed
for money? Wow.
It has been a wild time these last 5 minutes. We had several replacements, but then inevitably the original came back. It's almost like this is going to tie in thematically to what we're about to discuss.
It smells like spice in here.
It smells like teen spirit.
Replacements.
Replacement teen spirit.
Ooh, I don't know what that means. Okay.
All right. Let's begin. I'm Merc. We have...
I'm Bri Kotick.
I'm Kyle. I'm back.
He's back. And we're talking about, like we said earlier, replacement characters. Those kind of characters that just... have several different incarnations. I don't know who would be the most famous of
specifically the ones where the original goes away or something happens to them and someone needs to take up that mantle.
Exactly.
Are we doing that? I don't know. There's
replacements and there's alternates.
Yes.
And I think those are two different things.
It is if somebody is taking over a role for somebody else, I think is really more
I'll give you an example of what, because I was originally, I was thinking that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, oh, you know what, there's lots of different kinds of things. Like, there's different versions of one character. Like, they take that name and they become it, but they weren't really, it's not like that person died or went away. But
right.
And this is a bizarre example, but Red Tornado.
Oh, okay.
The cyborg android, right. Whatever. Yeah, the android, yeah. Red Tornado. There was actually that.
The sad robot, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, where's my sound effect now? But the original Red Tornado was actually like some cartoony, portly woman a pot on her
head. Was it Ma Hunkle? Was that her name?
Yeah
Ma Hunkle.
She,
I know that.
She was Red the original.
Tornado. Yeah, yeah.
She was the original Red Tornado.
Yeah.
So really, she was the original.
Yes.
And then the one we know now today, at the android, is really the replacement. But she's still around. It's not like she disappeared.
That's a good point. Right.
They brought her back occasionally. She's actually... I stopped reading JSA, but when I was reading a couple years ago, they brought her back. They did a little storyline that they always visit her, like every year sort of thing.
Okay.
Just as a nod to that character, of who she was.
It's kind of a Human Torch situation then, where there was an original Golden Age World War II era Human Torch, and then there's a Human Torch in the Fantastic Four who's more well known, and they're not really, there's no relation there, really. It wasn't like directly, I'm picking up this mantle, it's just but that... But
here's a different version of a character.
They recycled the name and put a new character behind it because, it, you know, it had been how many years, and, you know, they didn't really maybe think anyone would notice.
Right.
One of those things. I think that that's interesting. And it's very
those
interesting.
Those are both characters that get revisited. Like, I don't know if the original Human Torch... No, he's alive again. Is he not?
Yeah.
Jim Hammond?
They're doing although, a new Invaders now. All new now Invaders or whatever the hell.
And doing they did a big thing with him at the end of Secret Avengers.
Yes.
Of that. Yeah. That the original, with like the Matteo Scalera drawn one, that ended there with... There was the whole... storyline of
the underground city of villains.
Well, underground city of villains, but then there was the whole storyline with all the androids AI kind of thing.
Yeah.
That they were looking to the original Human Torch as like you were the godfather, the grandfather of us all. And then there's this one guy who was the scientist kind of took that and molded the rest of them and created like tons of different ones. There was like the evil, there was a Wasp version and an Ant-Man. And then like there was replicas of them. So it was like more than one of each sort of thing.
Like Android. So it's like.
It was actually really well
that's
done.
That's kind of interesting because it's sort of like the opposite really. It's like it inspired them to like make like Android versions of pre-existing human characters instead of the other way around.
But they.
Pretty sneaky, Marvel.
Yeah.
But and his plan was to setting off a bomb or like whatever, something that started to convert everybody into what they are.
Okay.
Kind of cyborg androidish sort of AI stuff.
Hmm.
And then the Secret Avengers had to stop it. It was actually quite well done.
Hmm. Interesting.
Was he a member of the team at that point?
He wasn't, but he nods to him and I don't know if he just appeared very briefly.
Because I
can't remember the exact.
I was sort of off and on that book. I do remember that though. He also funded the Heroes for Hire at one point.
Did he?
Oh, really?
He did. It was post Onslaught, and there was a Heroes Board team that was, I think, Iron Fist and the Hulk for an issue, and then he went away because
Hulk because he was really angry.
I think he was there at the very beginning as like a launch character or something, and then he was just gone.
He was like, well, let's put a few big characters in the first issue or two, and then we get rid of them, because that was a thing for a long time. And I don't know...
Because you have to pay royalties to those characters for being... They're like actors. They can't be...
Well, they're heroes for hire.
You don't want to give the Hulk his royalties. He'll get... It turns out he gets upset or something? I don't know what his deal is.
Well, you wouldn't like him when he's upset.
Totally good.
Apparently, I've got a
joke. So, are we still talking about Jim Hammond?
We may. Would you like to?
I think we should just turn this into the Golden Age Human Torch podcast.
Okay.
Well, we're gonna be huge. We're gonna be massive.
We didn't check that one online. That already might already be a thing.
Well, you know what? Let's not do it then, just to be safe.
You were away for 30 seconds, and it became God a Golden Age Human Torch podcast.
Those are interesting too, because that does happen sometimes where there will be characters that share a name, but it's not as if one is taking over for another.
And then going to DC, there's the whole Earth 2 kind of thing.
Yes,
they're different versions.
Yeah,
but. And I was like making my little
When you say Earth 2, do you mean current Earth 2?
Ah, no, because...
Okay, that's cool then.
We're talking classic styles with a Z.
Not Superman's a bad guy. He's super angry.
Earth 2 of the Superman who died during Crisis.
Yeah, right, we're talking like Superman the Golden Age, the Golden Age hero. So once the Silver Age... You know, kicked off, like, they kept them, like, they still existed, but it was an alternate reality. That's a good place to actually sort of start the concept there, because that's kind of where it all, I mean, it started in a fashion. I mean, like, I think The Flash, like Barry Allen, Silver Age Flash.
That's one of the main ones, I would think, would talk about.
Because it started, the original was Jay Garrick, but it's interesting because... after Crisis on Infinite Earths, post-Crisis, it was, they all existed in the same Earth, which I kind of prefer that.
I do as well.
I like that legacy. Mm-hmm. Initially, the Barry Allen character, he was sort of inspired by reading, like, he actually read, comics, he was in our world almost, like, the J. Garrick Flash was just a comic book character.
Yeah.
And he was, like, read those comics and was sort of inspired by that, and he just happened to get super speed and was like, well, I'll be the Flash because I like that fictional character called the Flash. Like, as if in our world, if I were suddenly to get spider powers and be like, well, now I'm a Spider-Man. It's a fictional character that already exists, but now it's me.
And then I'm getting sued.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Can't catch me.
Well, it's Disney, so you'd be fucked.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be destroyed. I'd still try. And eventually they revealed, I think, that, you know, that in his world there was a fictional character.
Pluto,
but...
sick balls.
Wow. Good Pluto joke.
You like that?
Yeah, I really did.
That was a nice reference. Sorry, I cut right into your sentence.
It's fine.
It just jumped to mind. I'm like, I can't not pass this.
I think we and anyone who is listening to this should understand exactly how this works at this point. Yeah. Anyway. So eventually, yeah, they did sort of cross over, and it was revealed that, like, Earth 2 existed, and Jay Garrick existed on a separate dimension, a different world, alternate reality.
You had to vibrate through that stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was kind of the first. It happened with a lot of those characters. Green Lantern, like, Hal Jordan was not the first Green Lantern.
And what was...
Alan Scott.
Alan Scott. Yeah. Alan Scott was the original, yeah.
And what was his weakness?
Wood.
It's just so...
Am I right, ladies?
Can I say, though, that, like... I don't know which weakness is worse, like wood or the color yellow. They're both terrible weaknesses.
They are terrible, terrible weaknesses.
Inescapable.
And you know what I always thought would be awesome is, not awesome really, but awesome in my head. I'm like, this would be fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Sinestro just backs Hal into a corner. What does he do? He just fucking pisses on him.
And I don't know if it's mad at me.
And yellow.
I feel like I'm surprised that Jeff Johns has not written that comic already.
you're a dirty bird.
So yeah, going along those lines,
that gave me a fear demon. What does that even mean?
I don't know. My weakness is wood.
I'm getting this train back on the tracks.
All right.
We were talking about, again, we touched on DC, and that is kind of where things, maybe not necessarily, I don't know, like, did we have replacements before DC started the whole legacy thing, the Silver Age DC? In terms of
actual replacements, there's the, like we were talking about with, like, Human Torch.
Right.
And that sort of...
This predates that, though. Like, the Silver Age DC was, like, the late 50s, wasn't it? That was before Fantastic Four.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that would be...
To begin with, like, the Silver Age, like, the new Green Lantern, like, Hal Jordan and Barry Allen, they weren't...
They were just taking the name much like the Human Torch.
Yeah, like, they weren't... It wasn't, like, they weren't initially conceived as, like, we're replacing another character.
No, absolutely.
They
literally only took the name and just the idea of...
Yeah.
A ring.
Because it was a sweet name and a sweet idea.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And again, like, the way they were reimagined...
And there's really only so many ideas.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
So you can only do...
So give up now, kids.
Give up now.
What, are you going to do a podcast about comic books? We already did it, you loser kids.
And no one else did before us.
Awesome. I like that you got that line in before.
Yeah.
But I mean, so yeah, technically they weren't, taking up the mantle from somebody else per se. I mean, they did have that hint with the Flash where, like, there was a fictional character in his world called the Flash that he sort of just stole it from.
Yeah.
Instead of just coming up with his own idea. Well, so, I mean, he did sort of... He took it from, in his world, a fictional character, right? I mean, that's what they established that,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, but those are kind of the biggies because post-crisis, they were all in the same world. And that was the whole idea that, like, during like, World War II, during those times, like,
yeah.
Jay Garrick and Alan Scott were the Flash and the Green Lantern.
I have a Marvel 70s one.
Do you? Oh, shit. Which that would actually predate that, because, I mean, that wasn't until the 80s that they actually
Can I guess who it is?
Who?
Is it Rick Jones as Bucky?
Oh, you know what? That's the second one. I didn't think of that. I did have Bucky written down. But I was thinking of a total... I was thinking the late 80s, early 90s Bucky, where it was Battlestar came in as Bucky, and they replaced Cap with Super Patriot, which actually I totally love that run was fucking awesome.
Can I be honest right now? I have no idea what you're talking about.
I believe it. I wish I'd looked it up before. I think it's Mark Grunwald that did this, but I'm not. I'm totally not sure if that's right or not.
Super is what do you mean? Like,
but that's when Cap was fired. He was he went up against the government, and he was like, what we're doing is crazy. And they're like, you have to do your work for us. You're Captain America. You're a military guy. You work for us.
Oh,
and he's like, fuck you. And he threw down the shield, and he's like, bite me. And he grabbed his balls. And he
as he does
back.
From time to time. Yeah. As he does from time to time.
And, no. then he just he threw up time. The double deuce, and he yeah. slammed a couple brews, and he beat up Vince McMahon.
Exactly. Have we all seen Captain America 2 yet? Have you seen that yet?
You know what? I haven't, but if you guys want to talk about it at any point...
I will not spoil anything. No, no. I will not spoil anything, but...
All I know is that people
excellent.
Keep... All I know is people keep posting things on the internet of someone whispering in someone else's ear saying, Hail Hydra. So that's enough of a spoiler because it's got my head turning.
My favorite
well, you
was...
knew
something
like that.
My favorite was when they had a screenshot from the end of Lost in Translation of Bill Murray whispering yeah. Scarlett Johansson's, which is just the perfect thing. Hail Hydra.
Oh, very no, well. You gave me another hint. God damn it.
Yeah.
The one I liked the most at the time was Troy whispering to Abed.
Well, that's just good and on its own, but...
Hey, no, Donald Glover
isn't
in the
movie, Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
No, Donald Glover's not in the movie.
It would have been cool if he was.
that was deliberate.
That
no.
was a hint. But guess what?
What? Is Danny Pudi in the movie?
I'm not saying he is. I'm not saying he isn't.
Well, I'm going to find out eventually.
Yeah, maybe. If you go see the movie.
Is Chevy Chase in the movie?
It's been out for a week. it's Jim Rash, but he's playing the Dean.
I'm going to believe it. Because why wouldn't I? Because... You know, I like things that are fun, and that sounds like a thing that is
absolutely,
fun.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now I got to double see the movie.
And again, the directors of that movie are Community. They produced and directed Community for the first three seasons.
I was
the
not
Russo
aware
brothers.
Of that. Oh, okay.
There's a
okay.
couple Community
and,
nods
and,
in there, are there not?
Oh, there are. There yeah. are a few.
Oh,
and
my
it
God.
Is, and again, like, and again, like the biggest movie in the year, the biggest movie, like, in the box office right now has some Community nods in it. Community itself, mind you, cannot get people to watch it if it burst into their house and held them at gunpoint. So
even if they hire like a third of the Breaking Bad cast,
legitimately, kind of yeah.
If okay, they have let's... Academy Award winners on the show,
yeah,
they can't do it.
Can't do it.
Okay, let me bring that back to this first tangent that we went off on.
Wait, I thought this was a Community podcast.
No.
We could do it.
Oh, it's just getting worse.
Spin off.
I was talking, that's Cap quits. And so they're like, we need to hire a new one. So there's this guy called Super Patriot that's like a total corny kind of, but he's a little too rambunctious and he's a little too.
Not U.S. agent.
That is U.S.
Oh!
agent. That's where he came from.
Okay, I thought
so he's always been a
talking
bit of a jerk.
About. Okay.
But he wasn't as crazy as at that point. He was just like, he was a military gung-ho kind of guy.
Right.
I'm Super Patriot, look at me! And then he's got Battlestar next to him. He became his Bucky. They hired him as Cap, and he was Bucky. And then Bucky's watching him, and he's like, he's going kind of off the rails. He was a little more...
This guy's going a little bit nuts.
Yeah, he was like, I'm just going to beat the crap out of these guys. There was, I can't remember the names of them, there was like a couple... Like, kind of like a Hydra or AIM group. Like, it was one of those. You have tons of guys, and he was just wailing on everybody and kicking everybody's ass. But, like, not like Cap was like, bam, bam, knock you out, move to the next guy. It was like, bam, bam, sit on you and just start hammering you in the face.
Like, you're down and out, but I'm going to pull you
for life. He's like, I'm going to break your legs, and you're never going to walk again.
Yeah.
And then...
Again, like, in general, just like a far-right-wing version of Captain America.
And then his parents, Super Patriot's parents, get killed by these... I think they're called the Watchdogs. That suddenly jumped to mind. But these bad guys killed his parents. And he literally loses his mind. And that's where you get U.S. Agent. Is because he's now... He's lost and he was Cap for a while. Right. And then eventually Steve Rogers becomes Cap again. And then they make Super Patriot guy... They make babies.
I'm sorry. How do you make babies?
With Cap and Super Patriot.
Oh, yeah. When a Captain America and a Super Patriot love each other very much.
So yeah, then they he went crazy and then he became, put as U.S. agent.
Okay. Yes.
And then he was like, I think at the time, his next thing, he was put into West Coast Avengers on West Coast.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was like the hardcore, by the rules.
With sweet-ass White Vision.
Yeah.
Oh, White Vision. Damn.
Did you actually like that?
He shimmers.
Yeah, well, my first exposure to the Vision as a character was the Avengers arcade game.
Which was, that style.
Oh, shit. It was Captain America, Hawkeye, Iron Man, and White Vision.
Yeah.
So, for years, I saw this character that I can't move. That was the sound that I made when you need to put in another quarter because it was one of those Yep. Games that would drain it like Gauntlet.
Yeah.
But I totally remember playing that. Yeah. Like crazy.
It was a great game.
Yeah. I totally forgot that until you just said that. That's crazy.
They had that Spider-Man game too that was kind of very similar.
Yeah, it was a beat-em-up and then it would zoom out at certain
points. Yeah, yeah. But Spider-Man and Black Cat and I don't know some other people.
Namor and Hawkeye.
Hawkeye.
Yeah, Hawkeye's all over
this business. We think that Hawkeye
is the secret player in that 6-player X-Men game.
No. But I mean, we think this is the golden age for Hawkeye. It surely was not.
Well,
it's when he was in every video game.
It's funny because those games came out while he was on West Coast Avengers.
They did Solo Avengers, which was really his book.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was him and Mockingbird for like the good however long.
Right.
It ran.
Well, what was the one in him and Ant-Man? Scott Lang Ant-Man. There was a circus.
The best Ant-Man.
Scott Lang hopped on his arrow and he shot him.
Oh, yeah.
What book was that?
That was an old one. That was from the 70s. That.
When did Scott Lang first appear?
That was done years ago. Done in like late 70s. That was probably a nod to that.
Oh, okay.
That was like the iconic cover. That's in Marvel, that's like rated always like one of the top 10 covers. Is Hawkeye doing that with Ant-Man?
And that's Henry board. Pym.
That's, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That's Pym.
That's Pym, the asshole.
The asshole.
Speaking of replacements.
That's a good one right there, because guess what?
This is a segue.
There we go.
Oh,
announced. It was announced quite a while ago, and even further from the time this actually gets posted.
About 4 years ago?
4 years? No. But I mean, like, the Ant-Man movie is going to focus on Scott Lang instead of him.
Well, it's having them both, isn't it?
Well, it has them both, but the main...
But who would you rather watch, Paul Rudd or anyone else?
Yeah.
But it's Michael Douglas.
Yeah, but it's Paul Rudd.
Okay.
I think it's a
Michael,
good...
Michael Douglas sure is I'm... getting a little bit lumpy.
No, totally. I was like, that's a fucking weird choice to throw him in. But I was like...
I think it works okay in the movie because they're going to reveal him as an early hero associated with S.H.I.E.L.D., you know what I mean? Like, it's gonna make sense. I mean, they're sort of playing up the history of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're going to do Agent Carter show. They're going to, like, you know,
actually signed on to do it.
Yeah. They're probably going to have him as being, like, sort of, you know, an early... You know, attempt to recreate the superhero post Captain America as Ant-Man might have not been entirely successful and what have you.
Trying to make me strong, but I just got small.
So I mean,
where's
you
my
know,
shield? Here's a quarter. Shut up.
I will talk about Ant-Man right now for one or two or several seconds.
Do it.
Hank Pym. And I think the reason they're going with Scott Lang as sort of the main Ant-Man or the Ant-Man they're sort of building this around in this is a good reason. I think in Marvel Comics in general, you have a lot of, like, genius scientist inventor superheroes.
Well, they're just kind of, they're creating the longevity.
Yeah.
They're creating the legacy thing.
Yeah.
And they're creating the wide expanse of, like, one person creating it and then another person taking it.
Sure.
Which in the cinematic universe of Marvel, that's how it works. And it works really well.
It does.
That's where you're taking, like, Tony Stark but you're having his dad involved as part of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then there's, like, nods to him being involved with, well, not nods, but he's involved with Cap and then, like how many, like, links and whatever in the chain that you can make.
Anybody else think that Anthony Stark looked exactly like Walt Disney? Just a bit of a...
Oh, yeah, but as played by, I don't know, I forget, Roger Sterling.
Tom Hanks.
Not Anthony Stark,
the other Stark, the father.
Yes.
His name wasn't Anthony.
Howard.
What was his name?
Howard Stark.
He does look like a real patoot.
Ugh, you sure do.
But, yeah, he was straight up Walt Disney, and that does sort of connect to, like...
Which is funny, because was that before they were bought up by Disney? Was it not? Or was it around the same time?
That was right around the time. It was, like, right on the bubble. It wasn't on purpose, but it is kind of interesting, because...
Very much so.
Iron Man is sort of, or at least Tony Stark is a very sort of big, flashy character, sort of like a corporation, like the Walt Disney Corporation would have to have as its head.
Within the Marvel Cinematic Universe, though, I mean, like, you know, you get to Ant-Man, and who is, I mean, if you're talking about Hank Pym, the whole thing is that he is, like, a scientist and inventor. That, just basic core concept for a character, there's really not much point to have him around.
I don't know.
In the world with Iron Man, and they've already replaced Iron Man as sort of, like, being responsible, like, Iron Man's responsible, going to be responsible for Ultron and Avengers 2. And I get it. I mean, like, I'm not saying that, like, Hank Pym's a bad character, per se.
I don't know. I think my only worry when I started seeing where they were kind of going with this, and then it's, like, nothing's totally clear how the Ultron thing is going to work out.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I've actually, I think I posted on the Merc page that there was this one guy who was like, this is how you do it. Here's how you do Ultron, but you solve the Robert Downey Jr. problem. Which I was like, the Robert Downey Jr. problem? What? He's only signed on for like two more.
Sure.
Which things. Is kind of crazy because.
Well, there's Avengers 2, and then.
If they back enough money up to his house, he's not going to save
it. Well, the thing is, that's the thing. Like, he's up to. He's involved in like, what, 5 or 6 at this point?
Yeah.
He's like 50. Not that he can't. Like, he can't physically keep doing the heavy. Stuff he's doing, but then
he's Hollywood 50. He's fine.
They can't keep paying him that.
Okay,
his paycheck is getting so big, and they're like here, and it looks like
the box office returns are getting bigger and bigger though.
But you've got Disney involved, and they're gonna
okay. get a chunk. Yeah. I mean, I know. I mean,
and it's just a matter of budget and how you're gonna do it, but. He's a really good actor. Like, you've seen... Totally. You watch Chaplin. Like, he won an Oscar for a reason.
He is a big draw. I can see those draws in that franchise, but you see how good Captain America 2 did without him showing up, and... Well, you know what I mean? It's sort of like, you don't necessarily need...
If you put him in every fifth movie, that's fine.
But the way that they were like, okay, you just write him out, and I don't want to go into it because then I'll blow... Winter Soldier for you.
Okay, thank you.
So, but it's
if you want to at any time, just give me a little nod. I'll step out of the room.
Don't worry.
I don't mind, really.
No, don't worry.
It's my fault, and I'm sorry.
But I was originally going back to your Pym thing. I always called him Hank Pym for the longest time, and it's only recently.
I called Nightcrawler Kurt Wagner.
Well,
Wagner
instead of Wagner. Wagner. Yeah.
Well, thank you, X-Men the Animated Series.
Oh, did they call him Wagner on that?
No, it was Wagner.
I misunderstood.
Last time. I met Alan Cumming once.
What?
Yeah, really? the guy that played Nightcrawler. I worked at a certain store in Vancouver that was...
Oh, he was filming Josie and the Pussycats.
I have no idea.
Let's assume he was, though.
But he walked in and I worked for HMV. I worked for HMV for an incredibly long time. I don't work for
Howard Morton Videos, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I was working at the superstore downtown, and he walked into the store, and we had just set up a new section that was like our iPod section and Apple and other like MP3 player stuff, because we only had like CDs and DVDs for the longest time. So they set up like a multimedia section, and I was in that section at the time. And he comes up, and he's like, hey, I'd like to buy blah, 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 whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I turn, I'm like, holy shit, you're Alan Cumming. And, I wasn't supposed to, like, say.
You said that verbatim.
Yeah. But he was super nice. I dealt with a lot of actors and musicians and stuff in that store. Just being in that area, because it's like Hollywood North. But he was so nice. He was such a nice guy. I'm like, I just want to hug you, Nightcrawler.
That's a sentence that I don't hear a lot.
No,
outside of my own head.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to hug Nightcrawler?
He was super nice. He's fuzzy. He was just like, you're such a nice guy. Like,
started talking higher and higher.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So
can I totally bring this back to a point that I started?
Please do. Yeah.
Which one? Because there are absolutely many.
Okay, I started way back when I said, "Oh, in the 70s, Marvel."
Hey, here we
actually
go.
Actually, did that, and then we deviated from there.
Absolutely.
Right?
Oh, and Guy Fieri's here.
Anyways, the character I'm talking about is Iron Man.
Yeah. Oh,
James Rhodes.
Rhodey. Yeah.
He took over.
Absolutely.
He took over being Iron Man several times.
Yeah.
Before they made him shitty Iron Man. Until they gave him War Machine.
You're great as Iron Man. How about not Iron Man?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did Tony Stark fake his death or something at one point?
I think part of it was because early in the mythos of Iron Man, it was always, Iron Man is my bodyguard sort of thing. And they could never be seen together. For a long time, and then it was like, well, how are you
and your bodyguard never in the same place at the same time?
Very good bodyguard.
It's like, oh, it's weird how, like, when trouble comes in, you run off, and then, like, 10 minutes later, your body you your shows problem. Up. When you, no one can vouch for where you've gone.
So yeah, I think he took James Rhodes was his
yeah
his secondary, and he put him in that. And then a couple of times he, I don't know if it was because of the alcoholism thing during the '70s. I think
that was
the stint James
took over for a
Rhodes
while. There,
took
yeah.
over that. Yeah, so there's that. That was the one that. I guess that would be the
that early, is a one good one. Earlier. That is one of the earlier ones, and that is a very good one. I mean, Iron Man's a interesting one because I feel like you can't really permanently replace Tony Stark. It's hard to.
Well, but that's that persona. Can you? Yeah, you can. Because you can. Really, it's as long as you have the technology.
Oh, for sure. But I feel like, you know, again, like the Tony Stark character is a very strong personality in a way that
but that's sort of
part of the equation. You can replace that. You can replace that and sort of reimagine that. But yeah. I don't think that's one that's ever going to really last that long. You can replace him for a bit.
Yeah, but that's like a lot.
It's always good.
That's like a lot of characters. That's like you're like,
at this point, it's pretty much every character. Like even characters that have been replaced for a very long time just end up seem to go back to the quote-unquote original eventually anyway, even when, you know, maybe you shouldn't.
Could you give an example of that?
I could indeed. We could segue. Again, we talked about, did we talk about Barry Allen? Did we mention that particular individual?
Yeah, we mentioned Barry Allen, yeah.
Yes, there was a period of time, 20-something years, where Barry Allen was dead, and this guy, what's his name? Wally West.
That sounds like a made-up name.
No, it sounds made up. Barry Allen sounds real, but Wally West not. He was the Flash, and he took over. He was Kid Flash back. He was Kid Flash during the Silver Age, and obviously for a long time, and then Barry Allen died during the Crisis. And then Wally took over, and it was, honestly, it was one of those situations where the replacement was definitely better than the quote-unquote original. Wally, I mean, at the time it was post-Crisis, and Jay Garrick was the original Flash, technically. Right. But Barry was the famous one. Barry was, like, the main Flash.
Barry was the good one.
The good one, so it was. And
he was the kid that died!
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and Wally, the whole idea behind Wally is that he had to live up to that legacy. And the whole idea of him being sort of in that shadow and subconsciously not wanting to surpass his mentor.
Right, that was a big story point.
And that was like one of the best, that might be the best Flash story of all time. Was that a Mark Waid one?
I'm not the person to look to.
I'm not entirely sure if it was. I feel like it was. It was the return of Barry Allen, except, you know, the twist was that Barry Allen never actually came back. It was, I think, the reverse Flash. I could be getting my details wrong.
Anyway, the important part of
the whole idea is that Wally West was holding himself back from becoming, being faster than Barry could be. Like, he was never, he seemed like he was always not quite as powerful.
His limit was, what, Mach 2, something like that?
Something like that, yeah. So he couldn't, so he was always sort of in Barry's shadow because he was never quite as fast as him. And I mean, initially that was sort of just probably engineered to, you know, depower him a little bit, much like Superman was depowered.
Because his weakness is wood. and tight uniforms.
Well, it's, you know, it's not wind resistant. Like
not wind resistant, no.
It's hard to run with
it's
wood.
Tricky. It's tricky.
It is. It's hard to run with wood.
Gotta get some speed holes in there.
Jesus Christ. Post-Crisis, though, I mean, like, Superman was depowered.
They have speed holes, it makes the Flash go faster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everyone was depowered a bit post-Crisis in general. Like, they were trying to make them a little more, I think they were trying to be a little more Marvel-y, where they weren't so, like, godlike powerful. Where,
except for Batman.
Except for Batman, apparently. But, I mean, Superman was a little bit less strong. Like, he couldn't, like, you know, punch a planet out of orbit or something. Right. He might, you know, if a plane was crashing,
well, that
he
was
might,
when John
he would struggle.
Byrne
he would struggle a bit
reboot.
Doing that. Yeah, exactly.
And it was like, this is crazy. You guys
yeah.
are like, I can push a planet and just, yeah. It's,
yeah,
it's
I mean,
all right, let's take away the rainbows coming out of the fingers, at least for a couple of years.
Yeah, at least for a little while.
We can slowly start reintroducing
you
the
need
rainbow
to,
fingers.
Because that is essential. But, so yeah, so then that was sort of his hindrance of that. He could never quite be as fast as Barry Allen was. But as it went on, in this story in particular, in a brilliant move, it was him kind of subconsciously would not allow himself to surpass his mentor, who he respected and loved more than pretty much anyone. And then he actually had to. he actually sort of had to just accept the fact that, you know what? Yes, I have surpassed him. I'm faster than Barry Allen was. I'm a better Flash than Barry Allen was.
And I'm not afraid of wood!
I can do better at my job. I should do better at my job.
Exactly. Like, it's almost his responsibility to be the best Flash he can be, even though it kind of hurts a little bit to... But, you know, it was a very nice moment, and again, it sort of pushed that character forward, and it honestly made Wally West a better character than Barry Allen ever was. Okay. And I would argue that Wally West is easily the best Flash there's ever been.
Oh, yeah.
He's absolutely a superior replacement. Like, you saw him grow, and...
you know this character's
come into
story.
His own. Oh, for sure. Like, he comes into his own in such a way that... And at the same time, while being a legitimately engaging, interesting character in a way that I would argue that Barry Allen has never been, is still isn't, and can never be. Like, Wally was the superior Flash for sure, and...
Really? The superior Flash?
Oh, here we go, right? Here we go.
Oh. You know, there's some other superior characters that I think might actually be a little bit better than the original. And of course, when I talk about superior characters... I am, of course, talking about Dick Grayson as Batman.
Boom! I knew exactly where we were going. Zinja. I love it.
You know what? There's a very simple reason why Dick Grayson is a better Batman than Bruce Wayne will ever be.
He's not afraid of wood.
He's not afraid of wood.
Batwood.
Ew. Ew. But Bruce Wayne was trained by ninjas, assassins... pickpockets, chemists, detectives, etc. And that's all Winston Churchill at one point. That lines up, right?
Yeah.
But Dick Grayson was trained by Batman, and that's better than all those things. Now using the same...
I don't know.
Using the same logic, you could
say... It's all filtered.
Yeah, it's filtered through a laser lens, which is Batman. And using the same logic, you could say Damian... is the best Batman because he was trained by Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson and the League of Assassins. But he's also...
Yeah, but there's best, and then there's also personality plays into it. It's not just training. That's not the only equation, part of the equation.
Well, that's one of the things that I loved so much about the Batman and Robin book, the Grant Morrison one, that they did during that time when Bruce Wayne was dead.
Yeah.
Where it was... a lighthearted Batman and a grim and gritty Robin. It was just, you know, like for years and years we saw, you know, mean, grumbly old man Batman and, hey, I'm a fun little kid. I'm going to come with you too.
And look, then I got a yellow cape.
It switched the other way around and it was just a really cool book to read. Like I've always loved Dick Grayson. I think he's a cool character. It's hard to keep up with books that he's on because they're often not very good.
Yeah.
And they don't do smart, intelligent things. But, like, the actual character himself, I love him. He's my buddy.
It's funny because I Dick Grayson, I was sort of had to, when I first got kind of into comics, it was, Tim Drake.
Yeah, it was Tim.
Tim Drake was the Robin, and Tim Drake is my Robin. Like, I love Tim Drake a lot, but that run that you're talking about when, like, Dick became Batman made me really appreciate and love Dick Grayson in a way I hadn't beforehand.
Oh, okay.
Like, legitimately, like, it's funny. Like,
like you, my first exposure to Dick Grayson was as Nightwing. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, who's this guy with this weird kind of... Actually, I didn't see him during the disco era. I saw him immediately after when he had the ponytail and the gold sort of sash thing. And
oh, yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Nightwing had some shitty costumes.
Absolutely.
But I actually liked the disco one with the...
I like it more than the loose gold lame.
I don't know why. That's like the... You look at that or Deadman with the cool, the goofy collar.
Right.
It's really dumb. I think it's not functional. Right. But yeah, it's like Deadman's one of my favorite characters. So to have it like that, it just looks bizarre, but it looks awesome. Like, but also, I guess it's supposed to be theatrical. He was like an acrobat. It was a circus, and it's supposed to be that sort of thing. But
you know what? I like the blue more than the red, personally.
Nightwing.
Yeah.
The blue and black costume, was that like Scott McDaniel? Was he the first one to do that? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
but
yeah, let's say yes.
Let's go with it because he was like the original artist on that series when he had that costume. I'm not sure whether that's where it came from, but yeah,
it's a really simple but also really iconic look.
Definitely,
and just that yeah, the like symbol the, part just of it. Yeah. Boop, boop. Yeah. Well, it's a play off Batman.
Right.
It is. In a weird way, though, it's sort of like he sort of casts off the red a bit, so it sort of makes him distinct from, like, every Nightwing had the blue.
Right.
So, like, it's just carrying that on, where it's like, distinct from the original Robin, blue, yeah. And then... But it ties into Batman
they redesigned the costume and then just recolored.
Yeah, it's simplifying the costume to probably the most you can possibly simplify it.
Well, right. And then it's also...
It's never been.
You also have to look at it as an artistic thing throughout the years, like what era that came through. In the 80s, that Nightwing costume was awesome, and there's a reason.
In the 90s, he had a sweet mullet.
Totally, yeah. Look at Jericho. Do you
right?
Maybe you guys are too young.
The perm. I know Jericho.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Just things like that. Although I hated Jericho even at that point, but you know it was.
Now, generally, people love Jericho.
Oh. Fucking hate Jericho.
Was he ever replaced? Probably not.
Kill him. Done. Never replaced.
It's over.
No problem.
Big X.
Jeff Johns like brought him back for God knows why.
But it's
permutations.
I just mean like in terms of like the design things. Like they're all in tune to the time.
Right.
And then like you get the late 90s and early 2000 was like, you know, heavy gear and lots of design, element of art, lots of stuff and lines and things.
And now it's interlocking armor.
It's interlocking armor, yeah. And then it becomes simplified. Then it became the interlocking armor thing. And that stems from the movie.
Yeah. Well, that stems from all the movies.
Really? That really
goes back to like Blade and X-Men.
I don't know. I always think of it more Batman Begins. Just in terms of that, okay, they're trying to make it look functional. Right. And it's a real-life thing. You're seeing it in real life. Yeah. How does that work? How does that all fit together in, like, the down the abdominal muscles? And you can see the lines in that.
I'm well,
like,
the lines make you go faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, if we're sort of touching on the 90s.
Please.
Can we talk about terrible replacements for a second?
Oh, Thunderstrike?
Thunderstrike is one. I wouldn't say Thunder... Yeah, I guess he's bad.
Is there even a doubt?
You know what? I know who Thunderstrike is. I'm not really that familiar with the character. He was a working class Joe.
He was a working class Thor.
He was a working class Thor.
Can I show you guys a picture, though?
Truck.
This is my worst. This is the worst one, and you will know it's true when you look at it.
It's a picture, and maybe you can look it up on the blog that goes along with this episode.
I didn't know there was...
Yeah. Dr. Fate.
Oh, thank God for the Dr. Fate.
Dr. Fate in the 90s.
We talked about this on the way
over. Yeah, we did on the car, on the way over. Dr. Fate in the 90s, because everyone had to be replaced with somebody extreme in the 90s. Dr. Fate was replaced with...
All I can think of is Homer Simpson. To the extreme!
Like, right. He was replaced with just a total shithead who had, like, an onk sort of, like, tattoo over his eye. A black mullet with, like, red streak.
What is it, like, the robot arm?
Oh,
like,
it's ridiculous. It was, he did, and I think that he sort of redid him a bit, where I think where he sort of had, like, a trench coat kind of a deal looking.
Which is
like,
horrible, because I think Dr. Fate is one of the most beautifully designed characters.
Absolutely, yeah. Look at him, right there. Classic Dr. Fate right there. He's got the helmet, the iconic helmet.
The color
blue and yellow that complement each other very well.
I like him too.
Gorgeous.
Very good. So yeah, of course they had to replace him with a guy and like, he had like a red jumpsuit at first and he had like straps and all sorts of shitty nonsense. He had like gauntlets and wraps. And, like,
I've never seen that.
Just awful. And again, like, you know, character-wise, I mean, I don't recall reading him too much at the time, but again, I to my recollection, pretty much any extreme 90s asshole character, basically. It's like, I'm a big dickhead, and you're reading me. Like, that's it. It's like, I'm the big fucking prick, and I'm just in this book, and there's like, I have no redeeming qualities, but you love me because I'm an asshole, because it's the 90s. And I mean, like, that was basically the whole gist. Like, the character design was awful.
You love me
because
I'm an asshole.
Yeah! But I mean, like, there's no more to it, right? There's
more
no
like Dr. Forget about it.
Well, that happens.
Forget about this guy.
Forget about it.
And again, I think he's one that most people... we have a picture here, too, where, like, Dr. Fate is, like, he's holding a absurd, stupid-looking knife. He's got little like Ankh style like throwing things in his strappy chest thing, and he says the doctor is out. And that's apparently his big, like, look at me, I'm a fucking new badass, and you're going to love me for the rest of your life. No, you're not. This comic's going to be canceled after a year, and everyone's going to try their best to forget it. And guess what? Everyone did until I brought it up just now, and I'm sorry.
That's the ebb and flow of comic storytelling, though.
Yeah.
That it's, like, not that it's clean cut as this, but written-driven stories rather than art-driven stories.
Right.
Then it goes to the art-driven stuff. Yeah. Back and forth with little weird things in between where it was like, you'll just have like, look, it's not driven by anything. It's driven by a big piece of shit. Because this fucking story sucks.
It's like somebody had a terrible idea and nobody told them it was a terrible idea.
And then it's business-driven ideas. Now we're getting...
It's like, hey, this is new and fresh, so let's do it. That mindset you get in where it's like, hey, here's a new take. And it's like, oh, that's cool. And, you know, instead of actually somebody being like, hey, but maybe we should actually kind of respect which historically... what concept about this character actually makes them last and
like,
makes them
fuck
light?
You, this, no, I don't want
to
do that.
No, they need to be more extreme and bigger and jacked up and ridiculous.
Let me take this opportunity to jump to a point that I mentioned in the last one. The thing I hate
what
most
makes,
is when
what
it's
makes man?
business-driven stories where it's like, oh, you know what? I think the readers would like this because that's what's really big right now. Or, you know what, I think we'll get more readers like this. My big thing is that I fucking hate is let's take your best characters or whatever characters and we'll make them kids.
Oh.
Or we're going to turn them into teenagers.
Okay.
Or have a teenager version of it or a younger version because, you know what, it'll relate to the younger audience. That is the stupidest fucking business principle I've ever heard.
Huh.
Well, take all the the characters and all the comics that you've ever read.
Yeah.
Have you ever related more to it because it is a teenager than not? Literally 95% of the characters you read are adult. And the point that it's a fictional world and they have powers. I can't fucking relate to somebody with powers.
Can I?
Like, what? Oh my god, they're in space. I can't relate to the Silver Surfer because he's on a fucking surfboard in space.
Can you relate to Kid Surfer?
Yeah.
Can I give one counterpoint?
Sure.
And it's just because this character is now coexisting with the original, but Kate Bishop Hawkeye in Hawkeye.
I'm going to take a pause here just to give Brian a high five.
Boom.
I'm not saying...
We totally fucked up the high five.
Kyle ended in a good high five.
Because, yeah, that's
Merc is going to explain that was a horrible high five.
I mean,
fuck.
Clint Barton was killed off, replaced by Kate Bishop Hawkeye, and then Clint Barton came back, and then they're just coexisting.
No.
And they're
that's
great.
That's not how it happened. She was just young Avenger. She like picked up.
Yeah, she picked.
She
it
just
up and,
called herself Hawkeye.
But Hawkeye was dead.
There was a
but it wasn't a replacement for Hawkeye.
I'm gonna jump in.
Was though
right in the middle of that. There was right after Captain America died, and they had not yet found a replacement. Hawkeye put on the Cap costume.
Yeah,
for one issue, Tony gave him the costume.
Yeah, I remember.
Come out with me, come out for a run, do this thing. And they run into the Young Avengers, and
that was an awesome interaction.
And Kate Bishop is like, you're just wearing this costume. You're just saying you're Captain America now? He just died. And he's like, you're saying you're Hawkeye? Yeah, because I was, you know.
Yeah.
Cap gave me his blessing. Like, oh. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
I mean, again, she was legitimately calling herself Hawkeye,
and
Hawkeye was dead.
Let me clarify. It's not like I don't think that there aren't good young
versions
up here.
Yeah, there are.
But I just hate
as
that idea.
As a trend,
and then it's all of a sudden, oh, now we're going to have a young, and I collected it for a little bit, and it's probably not horrible, but it irks me. The Young Nova. It's
Richard Rider,
which, okay, I get it. You're passing the mantle down a little.
He's
but it
very,
was like,
he's you know, very much written like another, I would say, Urshwitz version of that character.
Yeah.
I think we all know I'm referencing good old Kyle Rayner. I'm here, everybody.
I will defend Kyle Rayner.
To the death.
To the death.
He doesn't need your help defending
him. I will defend Kyle Rayner, not just Kyle Rayner, though. I will defend Kyle Rayner and also John Stewart as...
Well, John Stewart was years and years
before
Kyle Rayner.
From
The Daily Show?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the first the first Jewish Green Lantern.
I'm the Green Lantern. I will say this. I will say this. I don't like Hal Jordan. I've never liked Hal Jordan. I think he's boring as hell. I think he's a
kind
of a boring dick.
But okay, you also
I don't like him.
I will let you defend him.
Some of that could be due to history and when we came into the books.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Is you're working on like a character. It's like coming in a Superman. Depending on when you look at Superman.
I love Superman made of lightning. He's my favorite. I like Superman red personally. I'm more of a Superman red kind of guy.
Yeah.
But you know,
I'm totally blue. Oh, okay. Compared to Batman, there have been like 400 incarnations of Batman.
Name six.
You probably could do that easily.
Yeah, that's pretty easy to do.
We were just talking about Dick Grayson a minute ago.
Well, I don't mean like different persons. I mean like.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, then never mind.
If you're looking at Hal Jordan,
yes.
Then okay, there's early Hal Jordan. That it's like Silver Age Hal Jordan. That's when he was introduced. That it's every DC character was fucking stiff and like.
Which
Hal Jordan? Drawn by Carmine Infantino.
Which Hal Jordan was the one who was sleeping with a 13-year-old? Which Hal Jordan was that? No, look up Orisa. Yeah. Look that up. Have some fun.
You know these are fictional characters, right?
I hate them. It sounds to me like they're frictional characters.
Oh, boy. If I can get a little on track here, a little less ragey, a little more on track. The power of Green Lantern, it is the power to create anything you can think of with a ring you have.
From your will,
yes. So will is a part of it, but at the same time, I think creativity should be an equal part of it. I feel like you're looking at Jon Stewart and looking at Kyle Rayner. I mean, Jon Stewart is an architect.
You realize it's the writers then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying necessarily, like, these characters in their own regard are, like, definitely superior.
I got four words. Kyle Rayner, monkey butlers.
You mean monkey butlers?
Well, he could have.
He could have. Yeah,
if we had better writers.
Yeah. I feel like after Kyle...
I was like, did I miss a whole section of DC?
You missed a really great...
I was much more
Green
Marvel
Lantern
guy.
...animated series than I had in my head.
Would have been good. After, the thing is, I mean, like, Hal Jordan was generally, like, he would create a big hand, generally, is his whole deal. He'd be like, hey, I'm good to solve this with a big hand.
Let me punch things.
Let me punch it with a giant hand I made. And, Kyle took over, I mean, there was more of an effort, I felt like it was more an effort to get him a little more creative with his constructs. Like, he'd make, like, a giant mecha suit, he'd make, like, a big, like, you know, he'd make crazy, fun things.
But you also have to think that it's a construct of the times.
Sure.
Of when these things were written.
Right. Yeah.
Like, really, comics from the 60s to even in the 80s, they're pretty, not flat. And depending on the character, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
And DC and Marvel had their differences, and they're pretty distinct. You can argue them back and forth about when one was better and whatever. Whatever, but, you know, like, really...
If I could just raise my hand and say, though, I mean, I want to play to our mutual biases here. Yeah. We are all comic artists. Let's think of it, for example, the concept of a superhero that is a comic artist who can create whatever they think of with their ring. I mean, that's a good concept. I honestly think that is a stronger concept.
Was Kyle a comic artist?
Yes. Oh, he was a cartoonist.
I have to say.
And Jon Stewart was an architect, and both of those lend themselves to, like, these are creative individuals who can create, like, really elaborate, interesting constructs that I think Hal Jordan isn't really...
I just think that it's how the Hal Jordan character was largely Silver Age,
sure,
working into later times. So when it's really... You look at the audience of comics at that time and how they were being written, it was a much more simplified approach and reception. And then you get into, like Frank Miller time, everything starts to become a little more different and people demanding a little bit more grittiness, but it wasn't... Maybe not more imagination.
Okay.
In terms of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then, like, up to, you get to the 2000s, where you're getting to, like, Ultimates, and things are, like, it's creative, but it's realistic. You're bringing more imagination of how to create a realism that's still more...
Fun. And,
fantastic.
Right. Yes.
In a way. One world to another.
It's very fair to say, and again, that's
true.
And
then I think Hal Jordan was that character that was lost in the background because of that.
I think he is a product of his time, but my question is that since they brought him back, like, almost 10 years ago, has he evolved to be anything more than he was then? I don't think so. I think he's just basically still Hal Jordan. I think that that's kind of not good enough anymore.
They've just cemented more, well, this is Hal Jordan. He hits stuff.
I feel like other characters, I mean, like, have surpassed him in that role, hands down surpassed him in that role, and it still just, we just keep going with Hal Jordan because, you know, he was the guy that, you know, the current executives grew up with, so it has to be him.
I think Kyle Rayner is a great character. I loved him as Green Lantern.
Sure.
And he's a heck of a fun Green Lantern, if that's what he is right now. I don't know if he's that, if he's Ion. If he's a White Lantern, whatever the hell he is right now.
And I'm happy with him being one of many Green Lanterns. That's fine.
Yes, I agree.
Because, I mean, that's the smartest thing Geoff Johns did was be like, hey, guess what? They're all here.
Yeah. But the flip side to that is I don't think I've ever actually seen Kyle Rayner used to his utmost potential.
Oh, no, sure.
He could be super cool and we could do all these crazy things with his ring. And I don't know if it's an issue with the writing, if it's an issue with editorial, if it's an issue with the art, but they've never gotten to that point where it's just like, oh, Kyle's going crazy and he's doing this awesome stuff.
They've played with it, but they've never committed to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But given the same token, I think it would be kind of interesting to see a schizophrenic Green Lantern.
Totally.
Much like in the same way where in Darkest Night, when they had the Scarecrow become a Yellow Lantern, it was like, okay, this is what he's good at. He's gonna, you know, go nuts with it. It'd be really interesting to see someone with the most imagination, and whether that be, you know, a mental issue or not, but just really just go whole hog with the whole thing.
And how that works, how that's interpreted through a ring. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea.
That's very interesting. I would like that, again, I haven't read a Green Lantern comic in a very long time, but if they were to do that, yes, I would buy that.
Well, and that's also the thing, is like, I haven't picked up a single issue, like an individual issue of a Green Lantern in a long time. I picked up a couple of trades, like with the Blackest Night thing.
Right.
I was like, I really like it, but then it's... We've talked about with DC, it's like, holy shit, I want to pick up Blackest Night, but I got to pick up like 14 trades in order to get the full story. And like, I don't even know where to start. Not that it's just DC that does that.
And it's not necessarily that there even is a good place to start. It's like, you're going to have to go back a bit. You're going to have to do some work if you really want to enjoy this.
Yeah, oh, totally, yeah. It became a point where, one, I don't have $800 to drop to pick up the storyline. So that's cool and all, but, you know, I just don't know where to go. And it's not that it's just DC. There's, to make a weird comparison, Red Hulk. I liked that whole idea. Oh, yeah,
where do you start?
I think there's multiple.
Now there's another issues. Hulk, now there's a Red She-Hulk.
And... Well, it was when Red Hulk first came out.
Right.
And then it was like Incredible Hulk switched to, like, I don't know what, if they just called it Red Hulk or an Incredible Red Hulk or whatever it was.
They went to Red Hulk for a bit.
And then they were numbered weird. And then they were mixing over to other issues and other stories. And I'm like, I don't know where to go. Like, I'm just trying to read. Can I read a story? Is it that hard to just pick up the story?
When it comes to Marvel and DC, they're always going to number weird.
Yeah.
Like, may as well suck it up. I'm not calling you a baby.
And again, it's not that you should have to suck it up. It's just that you have to.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have much of an option.
You know what? Nope. If I got Red Hulk number one, Red Hulk number two should follow. Well, I don't know.
Nope, you got
one A.
You're looking for Red Hulk Alpha.
Yeah, it's like, what? I don't even know what's
going on. And these days, but yeah, it'd be Red Hulk, that's one a pretty good replacement now character. Dot one dot question mark.
I never thought. I actually didn't even think of that.
Yeah, Red Hulk, pretty good replacement.
Was there, I didn't have Hulk.
And to contrast that, bad replacement character, A-Bomb. The replacement for Abomination... portrayed by Rick Jones.
And that's we not the replacement keep coming for back to Rick
Jones. Well, in a way, he kind of was.
Yeah.
Well, he was just another gamma powered character. Was he
was the scaly one.
Well, and I'm gonna fade in the background because I do not read any of this stuff, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Who keeps up on Hulk stuff? You read the first four issues of any Hulk things. Like this time, it's different.
Well, but then there's also, like, inspired by characters that you could go, like, Doc Samson.
Right.
Sort of thing. Yeah. They're all gamma-powered, and, oh, I've got green hair, and that's all. But I'm a psychiatrist.
But his name was Punch, A-Bomb. Punch. He's not being anybody else.
Okay, here's a direct...
Hey, my name is Johnny Leeds. No relation to the leader. I just really like the name Johnny Leeds. Every time I say Johnny Leeds. I got to point at myself with both thumbs. You know why? Because I'm Johnny Leeds.
Going to a direct one.
Sounds like you were written by Jeff Loeb.
There are multiple versions of Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the Carol Danvers version.
Yeah.
Sharon Ventura, who was the She Thing for a while. She became Miss Marvel.
I don't know a whole lot about the Miss Marvel legacy, which is kind of neat because it's cool to see a female character with that. You don't see a lot of that outside of Wonder Woman.
Exactly. And it's actually, I really enjoy Miss Marvel earlier on. And in this, like, late 70s Avengers, that's when she was kind of brought on, I don't know when she was exactly brought on the team, but it was around that mid to late 70s. And I actually really liked the character. I'm like, oh, cool. You've got a female character that actually kick ass.
Yeah.
And it was...
She's a sweet pilot?
It's
yeah.
She goes.
She's like Hal Jordan, but I like her.
Then
episode
you get it.
Episode 6.
But then you also have the there's issue. Well, it's written as it would be at the time. Well, she was brought into a bit of into X-Men storyline.
Yeah.
As Warbird.
Right? Yes,
because she became Warbird, sort of, and that was much later. But
and then Binary.
Yeah, and Binary. Yeah, true, totally. And then there's also Moon...
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, zero issues. Yeah. Here things that might have been remembered from a dream.
We're totally making this up. Moonstone, who was like the villain, became Miss Marvel
for a while
because it was part of the Thunderbolts.
Thunderbolts, Dark Avengers.
Oh, yeah, during that period.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have now...
Kamala Khan.
Yeah. Kamala Khan in the current Ms. Marvel book.
Yeah.
There's only 2 issues out at the time we're recording this, and they're really good.
Are they better than the Transformers Windblade stuff?
I don't know what you're talking about, but yes!
Okay.
They're
books that I haven't read. Books starring a female character where... Normally, every fucking comic is just another dude.
And Carol Danvers herself is now Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Has taken over the Captain Marvel role.
And that's a great book.
It's fantastic.
And a super sweet costume that's even closer to Marvel than it has ever been.
Oh, yeah. That costume right there, I mean, was that... who designed that initially?
I don't know.
Was it Jamie McKelvey?
He
drew a very iconic version of it. I don't know if he designed it, but... it's that costume is perfect.
Yeah, it's
really, I got nothing.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna lie, I really like the hair. I wish that they would draw her. Yeah, I wish they would draw her with that in every issue and not just on the cover.
People kind of got upset about her not having like a traditionally feminine hairstyle and freaked out, which I thought was absurd because she's like military and like tough as hell.
That's actually kind of turned up on that Facebook Marvel Avengers Alliance game, which I play the fuck out of.
I've never touched it. I see your updates all the time.
Okay, I need to fix that years ago.
I need to fix that because I do play it quite a bit. And the most recent sort of story part of that, the unlockable alternate character costume is Captain Marvel with Carol Danvers. And I've been working day and night trying to get that costume, but it doesn't have the helmet and it doesn't have the hair.
With the hair on the top of that, like the Mohawk style.
Why take away that really iconic part of the costume?
You know what?
Seems a little silly.
And speaking of Ms. Marvel.
Especially if I really want
Captain Marvel or whatever.
Yes.
And you commented on it earlier on my Merc post. I just saw that I didn't realize that she might be up for this role as Katie Sackhoff.
Which
from Battlestar Galactica as Ms. Marvel.
As Ms. Marvel. That's been rumored for a long time.
Is that Starbuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, I saw a picture of her and I was like, she would.
Brilliant.
She would.
Like, that's totally the only choice. Like, you think about I just imagine it. People, again, this has been rumored for a long time.
I had not caught that.
I think
it's
like the first time in an interview she's like, yes, I would be very interested because people have been talking about this for quite some time.
And she was like, I would be crazy not to do this.
If they Marvel would be insanely stupid to not immediately have a contract like in front of her face.
Absolutely.
Because that would be perfect.
She has that look that
totally.
And she's a good actress.
Like, she's fantastic.
And just that kind of like, I'm gonna kick-ass sort of approach.
Do we have any other super sweet, wicked, awesome I'm from Boston now, replacements or some worst of the worst, I think maybe we should stay away from Asriel.
Can I?
Because that is a whole episode. That is episode 7, the Asriel episode. Yeah.
Can I say one thing? I won't get into it too much. It ties into the previous episode. My best superhero death was Ultimate Peter Parker. My best replacement at this point, Miles Morales as Ultimate Spider-Man. I love him. Like, Miles has he's been very, very endearing. He's been very good in the role. It's been very interesting because he's taken over for Peter Parker.
And sweet little Nemo.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of taking over, it's funny because his Uncle Ben is Peter Parker. Like, he had superpowers for, like, a while, and he didn't use them because he was terrified. And the whole idea is that Peter Parker died, and Miles had the power that he could have been there to help him and maybe... Maybe Peter could have lived if Miles was brave enough to use his power. So there's a very good twist on it, is that, like, you know, Miles's Ben, Uncle Ben, is Peter Parker himself, and he's trying to live up to that legacy at the same time. And he's a very good character, and that book's relaunching very soon. And Bendis has done very good work with that character. Miles Morales is great. So,
I never actually thought of that as... You know, Peter is Miles' Uncle Ben.
Absolutely.
That's a really good point.
But it's funny because the twist is they never met before. Yeah. But, yeah.
But, like, the only uncle that he has was Aaron?
It was Uncle the Prowler.
Aaron. Yeah, he was the Ultimate Prowler.
The Ultimate Prowler. Yeah.
Who was another super cool character, not one that we'll get to this time.
Is that based on the original Marvel Prowler? Yeah. Really?
And
he was purple and green.
He had the mask.
But, Who was very much a villain in the Ultimate Comics, but that's a really good take on it. I like that
for man. Sure.
And I never thought about that.
It was built into it because his guilt is again like that's put right into it. His guilt is that, like, you know what, if I had only not, he was terrified of using his powers because his dad is like kind of a, you know, like mutant phobic or whatever.
Right.
So he was terrified to actually, like, you know, use his powers at all. And I mean, if only he would have like when the bad things were happening, when Peter Parker died, he could have. He very clearly could have done something different. And if he had not done that, Peter Parker would not have died. Potentially anyway. So, right. I mean, that right there is like a very good take on a replacement for Spider-Man. And, again, Miles is himself a very good character, and that is a very good comic book, and it's well worth reading, so you should definitely check that out.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite or a least favorite?
Thunderstrike, really.
What about Beta Ray Bill? How do you feel about Beta Ray Bill?
I love Beta Ray Bill.
Everyone does, yeah. And who could argue that?
I love Walt Simonson's run on Thor. I'm a huge fan, unapologetically a huge fan of that. And that bit with Beta Ray Bill is fantastic. And that's the first time that it was like, nobody could pick up Thor's hammer. You had to be worthy. Right, that's the first character that in the history of the Marvel Universe, I believe at that point, picked up the hammer and was like, holy shit, you're worthy. Yeah. And not just like the Hulk barely lifting it or something, like just out of sheer strength just trying to lift it, but it was like he actually became a Thor character.
And I mean, I kind of like in general because he's legitimately like a weird looking alien.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And you have
with
like
the
Marvel Universe.
Exactly, deal. Yeah, yeah.
And the wider Marvel Universe at that point is like, you know, pretty cosmic. You have like all sorts of creatures and stuff. I mean, like the first character to be able to pick it up who's not Thor himself, why does that have to be a human? You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like it's somebody who's like, yeah, like, I've always liked that character a lot for that reason. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, well, no. I had one as well and I forgot which one it was and I took it from someone else. I've stolen Merc's book, and I'm looking at it. I'm not going to talk about Dakin. Jesus freaking Christ.
Well, that was more, I was thinking, like, okay,
look,
there's versions.
Look, you don't have to make excuses for yourself. Dakin's a shitty character.
No, I saw Colossus on your death list, and I wish I could go back in time and mention that. Because that dude was cremated, and then he came back to life.
Alright, well, I guess that brings us to the end of another episode of Zero Issues. I've been Kyle Lees. I'm Kyle. Check me out at skininjas.com. Skininjas.com. Bye.
My name is Brad Kotick. My webcomic is Welcome to Hereafter at welcometohereafter.com. Go figure. You can look me up on Twitter and a lot of other social networking sites at my name, BryKotyk.
I am Merk. You can find me at merkasylum.ca, merkasylum.ca. You just spilled beer. That's okay. Oh, and Merk on Facebook. And
hey, who did that sweet song?
Which sweet song?
Oh, that sweet song that started the show. And
Merk on Facebook, nowadays on Facebook. How much more of my stuff can I plug? Ocean City Defender for doing that awesome song. Helping me do that.
Good man. Stuff. Good music.
God, what a
Ocean
song.
City
Ken
Defender.
Berkeley, thank you very much.
We're not going to replace you, Ken.
Like, it's written by 70s writers, so it's right. Not possibly not the strongest female character you could do.
My pubes got stuck in.
Oh, my.
Oh.
No, we're not doing 70s pubes.
Well, do you know that?
You know, yeah.
Now,